Hey everybody, we're in the Shahr HaAtzlus, and we are two paragraphs in, at least in my printing. I don't know if the paragraphs are broken up differently in other people's printings of the Orcha Tzaddikim, but we're up to HaAtzel HuRach Levav. The lazy person is a soft-hearted person, but not soft-hearted in the kind of way that we mean it normally in English as like a compliment. It means he's soft, you know, like the kind of way a football coach would tell a player who's, you know, is not tough enough. That an atzel is a person who lacks any sense of fortitude, of mental toughness. Meaning we have to realize that when we describe atzels over here, you know, we often associate atzels with a person who's in bed all day and he's just lazy and he just doesn't move and he's done, you know, never wants to do anything. He's just happy to... That's not it. Atzlus is a mental atzlus also. It's an intellectual atzlus. It's atzlus on every level. Sometimes a lazy person doesn't look lazy at all. He's running around like a meshugana, but he's intellectually lazy. That's also a kind of atzlus. So he's eino veino golo l'makom Torah. He's not going to go l'makom Torah because that will involve going out of his comfort zone. That will involve making a certain leap that maybe he's not willing to make in his life. Va'alav Amar Shlomo HaMelech Alav HaShalom Shiva Dvarim. And about him, Shlomo HaMelech says seven things. Ketzad, what does that mean when we say seven things? So he says there are seven steps. Omrim La'atzel, they tell the lazy person, Rab Chavir, your Rebbe is in the city. Lech L'mat Torah Mimenu, you have an opportunity. Go learn Torah from him. So V'hum Eishav Lehem, the Atzel responds, Misyari Ani Min Ha'ari Shabadarech. Well, I don't know, if I go and I try to learn Torah from my Rebbe, I'm going to have to go through the street, and there could be a lion in the street. Who knows what kind of muggers or whatever terrible things there are in the street, whatever chayos, ra'os there are in the derech. I'm reminded there's a tshuva Rav Shurmbach has, where he talks about when you're traveling, doing intercity travel in Israel, or even within a city, whether you should recite Tfilas HaDerech and be misfollow, that Hashem should save you from the Chayos Ra'os. So he says, yeah, many of the drivers on the street have our Bivchinas Chayos Ra'os. So it's very mistaver that we could daven that Hashem should save us from Chayos Ra'os Baderech. So a person is concerned that there's going to be an Ari Baderech. So Ari doesn't have to be an Ari, but it means that he comes up with a reason, he comes up with an excuse that I'm not going to be able to make it. You know, sometimes I just won't be able to make it. Why won't you be able to make it? You know, why is it that you're not going to be able to be at Shir, or you're not going to be able to be at Seder, you're not going to be able to be in Yeshiva, you're not going to be able to be at David? What is it not able to make it? You know, a lot of times not able doesn't really mean that a person's unable. It means that I don't really want it badly enough. If I wanted it badly enough, then I would be able. So he comes up with a reason. The Ari is Badarach. Shneimar Amar Otzel Shachal Badarach. That's what Shlomo HaMelech said. Amar Otzel. The Otzel says Shachal Badarach. What's a Shachal? What? Yeah. So what is it? But it's not an answer. So okay, some sort of wild animals out on the road. Omlo Rabcha B'tocha Medina. So then they tell him, your Rebbe's in the Medina. You don't even have to go. You don't have to go intercity travel. He's here. He's come to town. So why don't you go hear him speak? You know, he's at the other shul. All he had to do is go to, you know, to the shul across the street. Amod V'leichetzlo. Maybe not in the intercity highways, but maybe there will be an Ari in the local streets. Who knows what kind of accidents I can get into on the local streets? I mean, he comes up with even a... meaning it's going to keep going for many, many steps, seven to be precise. But the point is that he's going to tell us that no matter how obvious it is that he has an opportunity, the atzel, you know, I'm reminded of a line that Rabbi Moshe Benovitz said years ago when he was teaching in DRS. He was describing a particular Talmud. I remember who it was, actually, but he's the guy actually accomplished a lot in life. But he was describing a particular Talmud, and he said that he finds it so frustrating. It was Lutoelis. He was trying to get Eitzah and had a deal with the guy. He said, I find it so frustrating because it seems no matter how low I set the bar, he finds a way to crawl under it. Like, it doesn't I try to set it as low as I possibly can, and he still manages to sneak underneath the bar. So that there are people that have that attitude, that there will always be a way to crawl under the bar and not to rise to the occasion. So they tell him, your Rebbe is right here, he's in the Medina. No, but I'm worried about what's going to be betoch haruchavos. Shenemar ari bein haruchavos. Omrim lo harei udar eitzel beischa. He's next door. You don't even have to go across the street. He's in the apartment next door. V'hu meishav lahem v'ari b'chutz. Shnemar amar atzalei ri b'chutz b'toch ruchovos aratzeach. Yeah, but when I go out to my front lawn in order to go next door, maybe the ari's there. Omrim lo harei u'b'toch habayis. They tell you, okay, you're ready. He's downstairs. He's in your house. He's right here. You just have to go to the next room. So he said, wait a second. You're telling me I got to get out of my bed, go to my bedroom door in order to open it so that I can go to my living room where my Rebbe is and ready to teach me Torah. But what's going to happen if I get out of bed and I go to my bedroom door and the door is locked? I don't have the key. So now I'm going to have to go all the way back to bed. And, you know, that's going to be, it will all have been a waste. Meaning, there's a chance that my expending of energy is not going to come to fruition. It's not going to lead to anything. So that's why it's not worth it to go. Meaning, what I think he's trying to do over here is he's taking us through the levels of mental gymnastics that a person goes through in order to not step up to the plate, in order to not step up and take a chance and do something and achieve something. But it's really more than, meaning each stage is a little bit different. Meaning the first one is a legitimate fear that most people have, right? That the Ari is on the Derech. The Derech is a dangerous place. We have a Tfilas HaDerech because it is somewhat dangerous. Now, can you imagine if a person would never go anywhere? Because after all, it says right there in Tfilas HaDerech that there are Listim and Chayos Ros and all these things that I'm davening to be saved from. So if people never went anywhere, they obviously would not be as productive if they don't go anywhere. But it's a reasonable fear. What he's fearful of is something that most people are fearful of, but a productive person manages to overcome that fear and do it anyway. That's step number one. Step number two is extra cautious, right? That they're being more cautious. I don't want to use COVID Mishalim, although that's what keeps coming into my brain. You know, like more machmir than the CDC. You know, more cautious than reasonable people would be at that stage, right? So if a person, but it's something that at least makes sense. And then we get to the stage where he's describing the fear of having expended energy and not achieving as a result of the energy that I expend. And again, energy is not physical energy in this context, even though the muscle that he's describing is the physical energy of getting out of bed. It's mental energy. Meaning there are people that don't want to push themselves because what if I fail? What if it turns out that I can't do it? Right? That was the study, the old Harvard study from what, the 1960s or something, where they took all those children and they told, and they had half the children, they had everyone do a puzzle, and half the children were told that, wow, you must be very talented. This is Carol Dweck, who's a famous psychologist from Stanford, Growth Mindset, right? That's her book, Growth Mindset. So she talks about, by the way, every major psychologist has a Jewish last name, just Agav. You know, there's Dan Ariely, which was obviously related to, you know, the Chashma Ariely rabbinic family. What's his name? The Panovich Rav cousin, Daniel Kahneman, right? He's a cousin of the Panovich Rav. Also, you know, all this. So anyway, so Carol Dweck wrote a book based essentially on the Nakuda of this study, is that they take all these children and they put 50 of them in one room, 50 of them in another room. They give them all a puzzle. And the 50 in one room, they tell them, wow, you are so talented. You have such innate skill. You're so great at this. And the others, they say, you must be trying really, really hard because you're doing a great job. So you must be trying really, really hard. And then they give them a more challenging puzzle. And the group that was told how talented, a puzzle that's not just more challenging, it's impossible. A puzzle that's impossible to complete. So the group that was told how talented they are give up after like 2 minutes. And the group that, I don't remember the exact numbers, they have the exact numbers. The group that was told, that was complimented for how hard they try, they try for like at least 10, 20 more minutes than the other group. They keep on trying. And their heart rate might suggest that they're having fun and that they're not, they don't feel anxious. Whereas the kids in the first group are feel a sense of anxiety. Why? Because if all I'm told my whole life is how smart I am, that I'm innately talented, that I'm gifted, so what if I fail? What if that means that I lose my whole mahus, my whole identity, that I'm a smart kid. And if I fail, right, the old Harvard study was with, they tracked kids through, they did this to actual children through school, and they tracked them through life, and they saw how successful they were. Unbelievable long-range study. It took 40 years to complete the study. But if I think of myself as a smart kid, I'm an honor student. I'm one of the smart ones. So then when I can't do it, I'm so afraid to try, because it will threaten my very essence. It will threaten my mahus. But if I'm just someone who tries hard, you know, who has fun trying things, so I'm not afraid to try. I'll push myself a little bit. You know what, if I fail, well, it doesn't change who I am. I still tried hard. So I'm more willing to try things. A person says, yeah, but I'm going to find the door locked, and then it's going to be for nothing. I mean, I'm afraid to try, because if I try, I may not succeed. I may, even though it seems like an easy enough task, I may not succeed. I may not get there. And because I may not get there, it's not worth trying. I remember when I was teaching in DRS, one particular year, there was a lot of kids in my class who suffered from "I can't do it." You know, that they convinced themselves. I remember we were learning Sukkah that year, and it was the second week of school or something. Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. I assigned them to do the Tosos about Rosh Rubus Sukkos v'Shulchan v'Sachabayis, and actually probably a discussion we'll have in one of the coming shiurim about whether when you don't do something Ketikun Rabbanan, do you even get a Kiyum Doraisa? So whatever, I told them to do that Tosos. And one kid raised his hand and said, "Okay, Rabbi, I don't do Tosfos." So I didn't know that was a thing. Like, I knew that there were people who, like, eat the black side of the black and white cookie, and people who eat the white side. I knew that there were people who, who are short and who are tall. And I never knew there was a don't do Tosfos type of person. So he said, I don't do Tosfos. So what does that mean? Meaning I've set an artificial limitation on myself, and I'm afraid to go beyond that artificial limitation that I set on myself. So I remember I sent the guys to the Beis Medrash with some Aramakomos. I said, "Okay, let's try to work on this. Let's try to figure out this Maramakum," whatever the Maramakum was. 2 seconds later, we're in the basement for a minute, and I went over to him. I said, "Guys, why aren't you learning?" Because, you know, that sometimes happens in high school. These sons, they're not going to learn. I said, "Why aren't you learning?" So they said, "Well, we tried. We tried. We couldn't do it." It was like a minute after they sat down in the basement. I said, "What? Maybe we're just defining try a little differently." in my head, try is not something that can happen in a minute's time. Meaning, try means that you. Meaning, like when I was, I don't recognize these words. All right, I tried. You know, like that, meaning, if it didn't like bop you over the head and tell you what and scream at you what it's trying to say, so then I tried. I couldn't do it. No, try means actual amelus. It means reading the sentence 10 times, 20 times, moving the comma over, trying to figure out what's it really saying, trying to look at it from a different perspective till I can, you know, piece by piece, try to figure out, you know, if I'm able to, till you have that moment of the breakthrough where, which feels geschmack, but you're never going to have that moment of the breakthrough if you don't actually try. And if you're afraid to try, because what if I fail, then of course there's never going to be that moment of the breakthrough. So, Omrim lo psuchi. They tell him, "Don't worry, your bedroom door is open." Adayin lo yakum. Shnemar adel tisav atzira va'atzal al mitaso. He's not even getting out of bed. L'sov shaloi yodei malahashiv. And in the end, he doesn't even know what to respond. Amr lahem im adel psucha neula mevakesh ani lishon od ma'at. Then ultimately, he'll have an honest moment where he'll say, "It doesn't matter if there's anything standing in my way. I just want to sleep. I just don't want to do anything. I don't want to push myself in any way." Shenemra ad masay al siltishkav masay taku mishnasecha. Till when will an atzel lie there and get up from his sleep? Omen mishnaso nosam lefan of lechol v'misatzel lasis yadul tochpiv. And even when he gets up from his sleep, they give him some food to eat, and he's too lazy to put the food in his mouth. Shenemra taman atzel yadul betzalachas nila lashiv al piv. He'll put his hand in the plate, and he's still too lazy to put it in his his mouth. Again, all of this is allegorical. There's no one that's that lazy, right? A person ultimately gets hungry and will put food in their mouth. It means that he's given opportunity after opportunity, and he just won't take that step to push himself in order to accomplish something. And for a person to accomplish something, we need to get to a point where we're uncomfortable. If a person always stays in their comfort zone, then they're never going to accomplish. You know, sometimes you see this with kids a lot, that a kid grew up in a certain way, you know, and they just, you know, they never thought of themselves as a Ben Torah, because that was never a value. So, you know, on the one hand, I'd like to be a Ben Torah, but it means that I might have to, you know, sacrifice something else that I did always see myself as. I always saw myself as a dedicated Yankees fan, and I might not be able to watch every game if I'm going to be a Ben Torah, if I'm going to be a Talmud Chacham. I might not, you know, I'm just going to have to pull myself out. I might have to go through that social awkwardness of telling my friends, you know, I don't do that anymore, or, you know, I don't have time for it. It's just, I'm going to have to go out of where I'm comfortable, and pushing myself beyond where I'm comfortable is challenging for a person. And that's atzlus. In a sense, that's atzlus. That's a mental atzlus. I remember Rabbi Maurice Lamb told me once that I think I mentioned to you, I once asked him to critique my drasha, and he said, "Are you sure?" I said, "Yeah, I'm sure." And I gave like a 15-minute drasha, and he critiqued me for like an hour, 2 hours. I don't know what it was. He sat me down and he like told me everything I did wrong. So. One of the things he said to me is, he said, it was so pleasant to listen to your drasha. It was so easy, it was so nice, it was so pleasant. He said, that's not the way it's supposed to be done. He said, you should make everyone in the room a little uncomfortable. Meaning make everyone feel like a little like, wait, maybe there's something more I could be doing. Maybe there's something, you know, that is just some, not too uncomfortable where they want to give up, but a little uncomfortable. A little uncomfortable, just to move their nekudas habechira over a little bit, you know, to just try to push people a little bit. You have to push yourself a little bit. The person has to always be pushing his limits and understanding his limits and trying to get to the point where he's going to ultimately accomplish something. Ve'ezu hashvi, and what's that final seventh level? Shem mechorif e'itza lo yachrosh. This is the tragic case, right? A person who was so lazy his whole life, he never did anything, he never learned any Torah, but he kept on saying, I'm going to do it when I get old. I'm going to do it when I get old. And when he got old, he decided he wants to learn, and then it's not accessible to him, it's not available to him. People think when they're young, you know, when I retire, you know, you would expect that Bate Medrash would be full of retirees, you know, that it'd be jam-packed with retirees. But it's hard to change the way you live your life when you're that age. I mean, if you've never trained yourself to sit through a 3-4 hour Seder of Limud, you can't just do it, you know, when you're 70, to develop those powers of concentration, to be able to focus and to be able to work at something. It's very hard to, the brain is not as malleable at that age. The brain is not as fresh at that age. It's much harder to do it when you're much older. That's the extent to which Shlomo HaMelech criticized the Atzel. And Moshe Rabbeinu said something even stronger. Shenemar ki karov elecha hadavar ma'od beficha uvilvavcha la'asosa. It's right there. It's in your mouth. It's already, meaning everything Shlomo HaMelech was saying is, he's in the other city. He's in this city, but across the street. He's in the next house. He's in your house. He's in, you know, everything was, but it was outside of yourself. And then Moshe Rabbeinu describes, the Torah describes, it's beficha uvilvavcha la'asosa. It's already in you. And you just have to have like a moment of mochen degadlus, a moment of just thinking bigger, a moment of thinking beyond yourself. Not beyond yourself, but beyond your limitations, the silly limitations that you put on yourself. That's, by the way, part of what we're being mesabel in Churban HaBayis. That's what the Arizal writes. That part of what, I'm going a little out of my lane over here, but part of what we're being mesabel on is that sense of mochen degadlus that we used to be able to have when there was Karban Tamid twice a day, every day. We are limited now to Shas Kriyashman Shas Tefillah. That only during Kriyashman Tefillah are we able to sort of rise and able to open our brains and allow the or into our neshamos a little bit. Only when we're so limited. That's why the Hasidim Arishonim, the Gemara says, spent an hour every day before tefillah and during tefillah and after. They spent all that time because they were trying to maximize that broadness that a person is given when we have a Beis HaMikdash, and we're so limited in when we have those moments of time. So it's Karav Elech Adav V'Vichol V'Vav Chala So. You have this ability to expand yourself. Rakhotzi Dover Mitoch Picha. It's just that whatever's in your mouth, you just need to get it out. Umim Shemsatzel Bazesh, Shalayotzi Dvar Mipiv, Elcha Atzes Gadol Mizeh. If you're too lazy to talk, I once had something like that. I asked the kid something, and he didn't say anything. I said, "Oh, you didn't hear me?" He said, "No, I heard you. I was just too lazy to respond." what does that even mean? Like, you're too lazy to say the words. It's a level of atzlus. It's like an unfathomable level of atzlus that a person has to push himself just a little bit, and we see where it could lead to if a person doesn't. Okay, we'll stop there.